Rated M for mature.
We want more. We want more. Like, we really like it. We want more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wine, Weed, and Weave. I am your host, Ayana, aka the Marijuana Ayana. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 7. It's been a real fun season so far. I've had some kind of serious, heavy conversations. I've had some more fun, lit conversations. There have been some short sessions. There have been some really long sessions. We've talked to cannabis entrepreneurs, educators, psychedelic educators, and there's even more to come. Like, it's just, we're just getting started over here. So hopefully you guys are rolling up and have a glass of wine for this episode. I'm actually rolling up right now. And I thought it was the most appropriate time to get into this intro because I'm about to pearl this blunt. Y'all are about to see how beautiful this blunt is and how we are going to get into the beauty of a pearled blunt. So this week's episode is a special session sip with fellow podcaster and content creator Dime. She's the creator of Pearled Productions, your guide to cannabis products in the legal marketplace. And she's based in Southern California. So she especially has the knowledge of California cannabis brands, which is one of the biggest markets, as you guys know. There's so many brands out here. It can be really hard to know what works for you, what to shop for, depending on your budget and what you like. So having a guide there can just make your experience better, not only with actual consumption, but the shopping as well. So that's what she does. She's a brand and cannabis educator, providing a multimedia guide and information about products for consumers of all levels. You can find her and her content on Instagram, Pearled Productions. You see what I did there? Pearled, Pearled Blunt, Pearled Productions. Pearl, that's P-R-L-D Productions on Instagram. And she has a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also talk to her one-on-one for a cannabis conversation and consultation on the Skillr app, free app on your phone. Please welcome Dime.
Hello. Thank you so much, girl.
You're welcome.
Reaching out and
thank you.
Being on the podcast. I don't even know how we connected, but once I found your show and found you, like you said, I feel like we're kindred spirits. Like, you're so chill and I really just love everything you're creating. Like, anytime I see you on my feed, I'm like, what is she talking about?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just doing what I love to do. And that's what makes it so easy to be so like involved and consistent with it, because I just love talking about weed in general and teaching people about it, you know?
Right.
When
that's
I'm
the best
in the faces
when it
that
feels
I'm
natural.
Able to. Right. Because we're limited a lot of the time, but in any way that I can squeeze it. And I just try to show people what I'm doing. That way they know that I'm a resource for that type of information.
Yeah, I feel you. And you just have good energy about you, you know? Like, I always tell people, especially who are on the show, like, every person who I invite on the show are people that I actually, like, for real fuck with in real life and mm-hmm. support in real life. Like, and you can kind of just tell when someone is being their authentic self online versus when they're not. And
exactly.
You just present an authentic energy that I think a lot of us can relate to in this space, because we feel like we can't really be ourselves, you know, Black women. We feel like we can't always be ourselves in the space we want to be in. So you being like, no, fuck that. I'm going to be myself.
Just be yourself, because that's the only way that you're going to be comfortable doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've had to deal with like some imposter syndrome back, like maybe like, but getting over that, I just learned that the only way that you can really create what you want to create to your fullest potential is if you're being yourself. Because if you're not, you're mm-hmm. not, you're never going to put that out. You're never going to put that content out. And it'll never be as good as it could possibly be, because you're not being your like true self.
Mm-hmm. Facts. So let's get into these questions, because I feel like this could be an episode where we can go on a tangent and just be like, oh yeah, we are recording.
I know. I didn't even know.
So what was your first experience like with cannabis? Do you remember what you had and how it made you feel?
Let me think. My first experience, it was when I was like probably like 14, 15, and I didn't even know what I was smoking. I was just smoking because my brother was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything about the strain that it was. I just knew that it made me feel good. Like, it felt like it just kind of like heightened the moment. Everything felt better in that moment. We were able to laugh more, talk more. Mm-hmm. It just felt better. But I didn't even know what I was smoking because I just knew that it was weed, but I didn't know what strain it was.
I feel like most people don't know what they're smoking for the first time. They're like, oh, you're just passing this to me. Did you have any, like, preconceived notions about cannabis before you tried it? Were you someone that was kind of like, yeah, it's not for me, or, like, super against it, or you were pretty trying it?
I was always open to it because I was raised in a Jamaican household. So from, like, birth, I just always knew that this plant was relevant. You know what I mean? Because it was mm-hmm. used on like a medicinal level in my family. It wasn't really like a recreational type of thing where like my parents were just smoking and chilling. They didn't even smoke. But I knew that my grandmother would use it in like her teas, and it would be used for a medicinal reason rather than just for like recreational smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So I always knew that the plant was important, but I didn't really understand how it affected my life until I grew up and I started smoking just as an adult. And I seen that, like, this is, like, a life-changing plant, because mm-hmm. it would just make life so much easier to go throughout, you know, like, the day in general. And, yeah, but it was just, like, I always knew that there was power in the plant, but I had to become an adult to really understand that it's deeper than just smoking and enjoying, you know what I mean, your high.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's more to it. You could rub it on you, you could soak in it, you could do anything with it, and it will have some sort of benefit. Listen, I also am Caribbean, I'm Haitian, mm-hmm. and I also grew up in a house where, like, there was weed everywhere, but, like, I didn't know it was weed, right? Like, right. The adults would have the weed, and I totally feel you, because then I became an adult, and I was like, oh, this is why the adults had weed.
Yeah, and my parents were totally against it growing up, so they weren't encouraging me to smoke. They were, you know, always talking on it, like, you know what I mean? Just, like, it makes you lazy. You know, mm-hmm, the stereotypes mm-hmm. that are out on stoner mentality, where you're just going to be lazy and smoke and not do much in life. So I, like, damn. I feel like when you smoke, what you do in life is dependent on who you are as a person. Like, mm-hmm. if you're a person, you smoke, you're going to be lazy.
Yes, but it's not the weed, it's you.
Person. Right, and that's kind of, like, my favorite part about it, because I feel like I'm changing the smokers, because we're not just people who smoke and do nothing all day. We actually have mm-hmm. businesses, and we have things that we're producing, and we have to work really hard all day because we're doing this all mm-hmm. I mean, there's no example mm-hmm. in this cannabis industry for women like us, so we're just doing it all what we feel is best. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes cannabis helps, like,
exactly when I have it writer's
block and having some sort of little joint or a little puff of a pen or like a little dab and taking a walk and just being like, okay, brain, what can we produce? I get that thing and the writer's block is gone. Or I'm sure with you, you know, you start creating podcast content and you're like, all right, what's the episode? You know, like, what are we going to talk about? What's the outline? You smoke a little bit and you get something.
Yeah, I feel like it helps the creative process so much more. Mm-hmm, I never have mm-hmm. to feel like I don't know what to do next, because my thoughts naturally, they're just naturally flowing all the time. But I love brainstorming after I smoke, because it just puts me in that headspace where we can go on and on and on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, for sure. So what career path or like industry were you in before you started doing cannabis stuff? And how did you end up pivoting those skills into the cannabis industry and applying what you did before to what you do now?
So before I was in the cannabis industry, I was a respiratory therapist, and I was just working and traveling and helping, pretty much specializing in lung function.
Uh-huh.
And I would just help people who had issues with like asthma or COPD, anything lung related. I would try to help people just live a more comfortable life. And once I started to, I was working at a cancer center. And I seen that a lot of the patients that were in the cancer center, they couldn't use cannabis to help them. You know what I mean? Because they were in a cancer center. Mm-hmm, so they couldn't mm-hmm. use any type of like drugs. They could only use the drugs that
they can use what they were being prescribed. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, damn, I know that cannabis is such, it's an amazing plant on a medicinal level. And these people can't be exposed to that. And I was already a smoker at that time, so I already understood how powerful it was for me. But it was something about being a cannabis advocate and having to be a Western medicine advocate that just didn't work well for me.
I feel that. It feels really, like a clash of two worlds.
It is. Pharmaceuticals and cannabis are two completely different worlds, just plant medicine in general. And it can be hard to like be an advocate for both in the same space and seeing mm-hmm. people suffer, knowing that they could be using cannabis to live just a healthier life. You know what I mean? In general, it's really hard to be an advocate for pharmaceuticals. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to give my all to cannabis because I want to be in this industry. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're okay. You're good. Like I said, I also am someone who has like dogs running around in the back and there's always like kids yelling in my neighborhood. So people hear all sorts of crazy stuff. It's really just, you know, we just sit in session, we smoke, and then whatever I can't edit out, I do edit out. But
okay, cool. But yeah, working as a respiratory therapist, I was like, this is so draining to just have to play both sides of the fence. And I can't mm-hmm. even talk about cannabis openly because I'm working in a system where mm-hmm.
where they don't condone it.
They don't condone it. And if you get caught in your like they do a drug test and you mm-hmm. test positive for cannabis, you can lose your license to practice respiratory therapy. And I hated that.
Wow, that's crazy. Because I feel like the respiratory system and the endocannabinoid system like have so much like relation, you know.
They do.
And medicine knows that, but they don't want you to tell other people that. So this is probably why they're like, you can't smoke, you can't talk about it, don't say nothing.
Right. It's seriously like that. And it's so hard because I was a cannabis consumer. So it was like mm-hmm. I was putting my livelihood at risk mm-hmm. at a certain mm-hmm. point, you know?
And we've I was like, this is there, very girl. Risky. We had a job and we were like, but we need the weed though.
Right. And I'm like, this is risky. It goes against my values as a person now. Mm. And I'm like, I don't like this. I just don't like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to jump and I'm just going to just go all in with cannabis pretty much. So I started working as a bud tender and I was working at Urban Leaf in San Diego. I was working at Cookies and I was like, I feel like I'm really good at this. Like I can really do this. And like, I just surprised myself. You know what I mean? Just because I had a passion for recommending products to people. I love learning people's lifestyles and seeing mm-hmm. what products in the dispensary worked for them. I love that connection between the customer and the products. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and bud tenders are so valuable in that way because a lot of the things on the shelves in the dispensary, customers have never tried. So they're coming to you for your advice on a product. Yes.
Though the bud tender is on the, I have also been a bud tender. I feel like every Black woman who's been on the show started as a bud tender because that's the perfect place where you can get your foot in the door and get education. But if you're a bud tender, y'all definitely deserve more respect because if you're a customer walking in, the first person you're talking to is the bud tender. They're almost like the doctor. Like,
right.
They're almost the person that you have to trust fully with this thing you're consuming. And did you have this thing where you were like selling weed and doing bud tending stuff that you were like, I actually really like talking about weed. I'm really good at selling drugs.
Yep. And it felt so good to finally do it in a space where it was legal.
Where it was allowed.
That was the most exciting part. It was like, I come to work every day to sell weed. Like, I like this job. You know what I mean?
I want to bud tend again. It's so fun.
It really was. I enjoyed that. And I just took my same mentality as like being a patient advocate in respiratory therapy. And I just took that over to cannabis where I'm a consumer advocate. I'm a cannabis consumer advocate because I want them to still be able to consume cannabis safely. Just like when I was working in respiratory therapy and I'd be recommending different types of corticosteroids and bronchodilators. And I have to tell you the dosage and how frequently to take it. I do the same thing with cannabis because it's still mm-hmm. a regulated plant and there's mm-hmm. still... You feel me? It's just like with the milligrams that you find in medicine. It's the same things in cannabis. Exactly. So I just take that same passion and that same experience and I just been applying it to cannabis.
Girl, I love that for you. Congratulations on this career pivot, because I can totally understand where you're in a space where you just feel like you have to stifle your voice and a passion that you have, and then go into a space where you can finally talk about it out loud. Like, do you totally hit the nail on the head when you were like, it didn't align with my values? And I think because you have values that you've like pretty much been like, this is my values, is why you're successful today. Congrats to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, girl.
Yeah. So can you give us a summary a little bit more about what you do in the cannabis industry now and what you're currently creating and Pearled? Like, what can we expect from Pearled in the next year? Because I know you're doing some things. You got some sneaky little things going on. It's because I'm in the Close Friends Club special. But
not I know I had to start that. I had to start that because I'm working on a lot of things.
Like, that's kind of like a Patreon, you know? Like, you're like, no one's not getting my content for free.
Exactly.
I love that energy.
Because what I'm putting out is very valuable. Like, I know that anything that I produce, it's going to be something that people want to see. And then if you support me, you deserve to get full access to that. You know what I mean? Or early access. And just creating that group was a way for me to just form like a little support group and a thank you group, and to give the people who actually support me the things that they want, because there's a lot of people who are following me who weren't even interacting with the content. They weren't liking, they weren't sharing. So it's like, what are you here for? You know what I mean? So it's like,
I'd rather do that. You gotta watch out, people try to steal.
Exactly. On the low, just watching your page, seeing what you're doing. You know what I mean?
People will try to steal your idea. You'll see a Pearl podcast somewhere else and be
okay,
like, wait a minute.
I've been working on a lot of things for Pearl. For now, it's just right now I have the podcast, Pearl the Podcast. It's on Spotify. And on that podcast, I just pretty much I'm able to talk as freely as I want to about weed because it's an unregulated space. And I can recommend the brands that I'm trying. I like to make sure that people know what kind of brands are in the dispensaries. That way they know what products to look forward to. I try to keep people informed on like cannabis news and things that are changing in the communities that we're in, because California cannabis is crazy.
It's wild.
A lot of people don't know what's going on out here.
It's wild.
Yeah. So I make sure that I'm informing people on the podcast. Pearled is just a production company in general. So I have a lot of things that I'm working on creating for the people who like my content. That way they can have access to me, not just on Instagram, but they can have access to me just in the privacy of their phone. So there's going to be a lot of new things that they can just access me on a deeper level, because we're so regulated on social media that it's hard to even get to know me. So it's like, I want you guys to know who I am and get some really good content in the process and just enjoy the journey with me, because it's up, really. Like, and I just love to know that the people who support me are close to me.
I mean, when are we going to see the Pearl lip gloss and edge control? That is
my shit. I'm serious. I have to do something with that, because those are two of my favorite things.
Yo,
about,
are people
like,
asking for it? Because I'm wondering, like, every time, like, where is the edge control lip? What is the formula? You don't got to tell us, but I feel like a Pearl lip gloss and Pearl edge control with hemp in it.
Has to
be in the Pearl Productions.
The lip gloss for sure, because that's just for the women who like to smoke in general. You know what I mean? That's
yeah,
why my
we don't
name
want
on Twitter,
like crusty lips. You know?
I'm telling you, my name on Twitter was like lip gloss on the blunt, because that's really me. Like, lip gloss is going to be on the blunt if we smoke together. And if that's a problem, don't smoke with me. But it gets deeper into lip care. You know what I mean? Making sure that your lips are moisturized and you're exfoliated. Like, I use an exfoliator on my lips from Venus Aesthetics just to make sure that I don't get like just the darkness that comes with being like a backwoods smoker. Those are the things that I'm passionate about, like my lips and my edge control, my hair in general. That's just what's like the beauty of us as Black women, you know, these natural things that we have that are just like beautiful. We might as well just embrace it and show that shit off, because it looks great.
Exactly. So as a cannabis content creator and educator and media person, what stigmas do you hope to change about cannabis and consumers through your content?
I want to make sure that people understand that it's okay to be a conscious cannabis consumer. Like, it's okay to know what you're smoking and know the science behind the weed that you're smoking. I want people to know that there's obviously stigmas that are out on us, that we're lazy and we don't do much, but we actually produce really amazing things because there's so many different people in this space who do so many different things. It's not just about content creation. There's people who are into cannabis on a political level or mm-hmm. on an event planning level. So I want people to know that this industry is bigger than just people who are either selling actual flower and that it's people like me who are doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like
this black not women, everyone's black people. Plant touching. And I think that's what's so special about your show and my show is that we're showing people that you're not just, we don't have to just be growing weed. We don't have to just be selling weed. Like, though we are budtenders and love our budtending experience, we can create anything in this space, like literally right. anything.
Right. I want to make sure that people are educated. I'm always an advocate for just safe cannabis consumption. Like, if you want to smoke yeah. weed, know what you're smoking because there's a lot of weed out here, but that doesn't mean that it's all clean and it's all healthy.
Yes.
So that I think part. Just making sure that people are more aware about the products that they're buying, the brands that they're shopping from. I try to always bring new brands on my podcast and just showcase new brands in general so that people know that there's good weed out here, there's bad mm-hmm. weed out here, but at least someone's telling you what's going on rather than mm-hmm. you just going to the dispensary
and getting the $60 eighth because it has nice packaging. Please stop doing that. Please
right. Doing that. Like, that means nothing. That means absolutely nothing. But that's kind of how marketing works. You know, they yeah. hope that people would just go in there and buy it based on, you feel me, whatever it looks like.
Oh,
but
yeah, I'm an expert at this. I'm not, because I mean, we've been in those spaces, so pricing, like what would you suggest people look for when they're shopping for cannabis? Like, today I got a really good still, girl, right? I went to my local dispensary that had $15 eighths on sale. It was like the dispensary brand's eighth, so naturally I'm like, how old is it, right? Because mm-hmm. they're probably trying to get it off the shelf, but not lots of people will even think about looking at the date. Luckily, it was harvested February 22nd. So I was like, I don't know why it's $15. It's fire and it's fresh, but thank you.
Right. That's what I was going to say, to always make sure that you look at the date. Because normally it's like people look at the THC percent because they're like, uh-huh. oh, if it's a high THC,
that means
that I'm going to get higher. But then it's like, you need to actually look at the date too to make sure that it's not some old ass weed.
Mm-hmm. What else should people look at if they're shopping for weed and they want to like become really good at finding things that are affordable but that are good quality?
I would say, especially for the people who are shopping in California.
Yes, for California specifically in this case, since we're both in California.
I would tell them if they can see the actual flower that's in the packaging, if they can like touch the packaging, like squeeze it, make sure that the mm-hmm. weed doesn't feel crunchy. Like if it's crunching in the bag, then you know that weed is not fresh. It's dry. So you have to think freshness. When you're touching that weed, you know there probably isn't any trichomes on it. When I say trichomes, you should be thinking about like the actual benefits from the plant, like the healing benefits that you're going to feel. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's going to give you pretty much the benefits of the plant. Looking at it, making sure that it looks like it's vibrant in color, because that's going to give you like an indicator of freshness again. Don't always look at the price, because $15 exactly. can just as good as $60. Exactly. That's why I can't even say to go off of the price. Just look into, just be curious with it. Honestly, I like trying different strains that are at different if that makes a difference. So it's like, try the $15 eighth, try the $60 eighth. That way you can have a good idea of what is considered expensive weed, and you can kind of tell, like, I don't need to spend $60 on the eighth to get high, because there's a brand where I can shop for $15 eighths, and as long as the weed is fresh, it's some good weed, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for sure. So what are your go-to like favorite cannabis, California cannabis brands or strains right now? For me, I'm smoking. I didn't say what I was smoking today, and if you're smoking, you can shout out what you're smoking today. I'm smoking some Bloated Live Resin by Ammo. And this is sherbet cake, and I really like Ammo because it's like $25 dabs. Like, they're really affordable, but they're live resin. Mm-hmm. And I always get them for under $25, like everywhere I go. So this is a brand that if I'm going to get dabs, I like look for, and I always get, because I know they're affordable. I know they're really terpy and they're live resin.
So today we smoked, it was a strain from a brand called Revelry. It was my first time we tried that brand before, mm-hmm. and the strain was called Big League Chew. It was cool. To me, it was cool, and it wasn't a really expensive eighth, because I think we got it for maybe, like, around, like, $40 maybe.
That's not bad for California.
It's not. And that was after tax. I think it was probably, it was somewhere between like maybe 25 and 40 bucks. But that just, it was fresh though. That's one thing I will say, that the package date on it wasn't super old. So mm-hmm. when it, that's why I'm like, the date is probably the most important thing, because when I'm shopping for strains, I used to like only smoke Cannabiotics because I'm like, that's the best weed I ever had. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite weed in the dispensary.
But they're so expensive.
Exactly. So I had to make it, that kind of pushed me to try different strains and see like, what other strains do I like that are giving me a similar effect? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I used to always stick with Cannabiotics because they have the best weed I've ever seen. Honestly,
it's beautiful. It looks like art.
And it's so consistent, yeah, because it's not like you're going to get a jar that's like, this one doesn't look as fresh. It's always perfect.
But after taxes, you will maybe pay $70, $75 for an eighth. And not everyone has that budget, you know, especially if you're, I mean, we also know Black women, we still get paid not a lot of money. So we have to take these things into account when we're consuming. Like, I have to create a weed budget for myself monthly. I have to, because I know that it's my medicine, but I have to still be realistic and be like, this is how much you can spend. And in California's market, you can easily spend over $100 per trip.
You could. Exactly. And there are some dispensaries that have like really good discounts and like loyalty programs where you can like rack up points and use it towards your purchase, and you can get like $20
off. That's the plug, actually. The loyalty programs, sign up for those.
Right. Because that way you could save money and you can try more products throughout the store. That's what I like about the dispensary setting, is that you can try everything. Every time you come to the dispensary, you can try something new. Or you can try something, or you can find a favorite, you know what I mean? And just stick with that one thing. But there's so many products out there at so many different price points. Don't feel like you have to shop with a specific brand just because people say it's quote unquote good. Like, try other brands at different price points or different forms, as far as like flower or concentrate or edibles, and see if maybe you can get like a $20 edible, 100 milligrams, that you would get higher off of than a $30 eighth. You know what I mean? Like, just try and see how you can work it to where you can use your medicine in a just like a personalized way.
So what questions would you tell people to ask their budtender or ask themselves before shopping, so they can find, you know, the best strain for them, for their experience? As you said, lots of people still have this idea of kind of being like, just being super high, looking at the THC percentage. And I'm always also like condoning like being a conscious cannabis consumer and smoking for what your body needs and knowing your terps. Like, I know I'm not a limonene girl. It's too much sativa for me. It's a no. But that took some education. So what should people ask themselves, or like I said, ask their bartenders, so they can have a better experience with their cannabis?
I think that when you go to the dispensary, it's best if you create like a relationship with the bartenders that's in there. If it's that kind of dispensary where you can like interact with the bartenders, like find a bartender that you kind of resonate. I like to talk to budtenders that smoke like heavy indicas because I know that they're going to recommend strains that they would smoke, you know? So I'm like, I trust your opinion on these strains because we kind of like the same kind of weed.
And then when you see them, they're like, oh, I know what to suggest to you.
Exactly. And I love that because then I can find the products that are suitable for your lifestyle. Tell me what you're about to do. Like, what do you have planned for the night? What do you have planned for the day? Like, that way I can know, like, what kind of strain should I recommend to you? What kind of product should I recommend? Are you looking for something that's going to kick in quickly? Are you even able to smoke where you're going? Do you need an edible? You know what I mean? Like, it helps me recommend products to you, but you have to be open with the, with like the bartender, like be comfortable with them. Like, they're there to help you get the best products possible. Trust me. Trust your bartenders, because all they do is smoke the products in the dispensary. Like, they know what's there.
Samples. They are constantly looking at the weed.
Right. So I'm like, talk to the bartender. Tell them what you're about to do. Tell them your budget. Be honest. Because if your budget is only...
Then tell them that. Yeah. Be like, okay, I have $20. What can I, get a couple pre-rolls or something? And maybe because I've been in this space, if I go somewhere, no matter if it's like a real nice dispensary or a small little place, I'm getting good customer service, or they're not actually like telling me anything that's helpful, I'm not gonna buy weed from there. Like, if I don't feel comfortable Or if you don't feel comfortable, be like, okay, this place is not for me. Go to some place that feels comfortable for you, where you feel like you can talk to the budtenders.
Yes, always talk to the budtender. Let them know what you have planned for the day. What are you going to do? Like, what do you do? Tell me, because then I'm able to indicate, like, what is your tolerance like? I need to know, can you handle super strong edibles, or do you need something that's like 2.5 milligrams per edible? You know what I mean? That helps me know what kind of products to give you, because that you're shopping safely. Like, I'm not going to recommend something that I know is going to be bad for you, because that's not what I want to recommend as a budtender. You know, that I want to make sure that you use products. So be open with your budtender. Tell them what you about to do. Tell them what you prefer. Tell them if you like to smoke. Tell them if you don't like to smoke. You know what I mean? Don't just go in there buying stuff and you don't know what you're shopping for, because you're never going to really be able to experience cannabis in the way that you should be, because you don't know what you're doing.
And so you're like, oh, I always get too high. It makes me have a headache. I'm like, do you change that experience?
Or they'd be like, I don't eat edibles. Edibles are too strong. And it's like, of course, because you've been shopping for 100 milligram edibles and you're eating 5 of them.
You might
need a little
2 milligram. You might just need 2. That's it.
Take your time. Be open so that your budtender can help you.
I really love how much, like, education and how much information you put about brands and stuff into your podcast and on your page. Can you tell us a little bit more about, like, why you decided to incorporate, like, the actual weed you're smoking and what's happening in your personal life as well? Like, somewhat, though you're private, you do kind of give us an insight on, like, you know, this is who I am, you know?
Yeah, so, like, I like to do that. I like to tell people the brands that I'm smoking, because it helps, it just helps, like, the people who are in California shop easier. Like, if you need help looking for products, at least you know that there's a budtender who posts these products on her page or on whatever platform I'm able to post them on. And that way you know what's good and what's bad, because there's so much weed out there, it's hard to know what's good and what's bad. And I like to give people the same experience that you would get in the dispensary. I'm gonna give it to you at home. That way you podcast. Have someone to consult. Exactly, on the podcast or on the Skillr app. And on there, it's like people can talk to me one-on-one. They have their own private sessions where they can ask me, like, hey, this is what I'm shopping for. I'm about to go to the dispensary, but can you help me with this before I go get it? I want to make sure that I'm getting the right kind of thing. And I can pull up where they're at, and I can see the dispensaries that are around them, and I can help them shop. Like, that's my goal, is to just help people shop easier for cannabis.
Big shout out to this week's episode sponsor, Cash Color Cannabis, a cannabis podcast and media brand that seamlessly blends together cannabis culture, entertainment, current events, and activism. Founded by former hip-hop and sports journalist Rodney Mecca King, the Cash Color Cannabis brand began as a marketing event series, and it has since transformed into a diverse educational and entertaining platform ever since. Each episode of the podcast includes intimate and informative conversations with some of the industry's top entrepreneurs, creators, business owners, and experts, including Hope Wiseman, Malik Yoba, Lizzie Jeff, Deshita Dawson, Jesse Horton, and I'm only naming a few. Listen and see for yourself. Join a higher level of conversations with host Mecca and special guests bi-weekly. Subscribe and catch up on episodes of Cash Color Cannabis, streaming almost everywhere podcasts are streaming, including Apple Music, Pandora, and Spotify. Learn more on cashcolorcannabis.com and follow them on Instagram at cashcolorcannabis.
How are you educating people now through Pearled and, like you said, the Skillr app?
Yeah, so on the Skillr app, educating people on there, giving them one-on-one sessions where they can hit me up and be like, hey, Dime, I'm going to shop in the dispensary, but I'm not sure what product I should buy. So I give them their whatever time limit they want me for, they can have me and they can talk to me and I can answer their questions and I can give them product recommendations. Because on my podcast, I like to recommend products, but on the Skillr app, it's more of a personalized recommendation. You know what I mean?
It's like a one, like a consultation, like being a cannabis coach or like someone who directly goes to someone.
Yes,
like, it's hey, I need
concierge.
This.
They call it a cannabis concierge, and it's just so that people know that I'm a resource. But people can also get that information just by supporting me, literally getting on the Instagram and seeing, like, okay, this is like where she is. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure that I tap in, make sure mm-hmm. she knows that I'm here, that the content is needed, because sometimes people don't like to say like what they're curious about when it comes to cannabis. And I'd be like, if y'all have questions, just ask me, bro. Like, ask somebody rather than going and just
hurt yourself.
Right. Like, I try to make sure that I show people what I'm smoking. I try to show people the brands that I like, because that's just like the best thing to do. That's what a friend would do. Like, this is what I'm smoking. Here you go. Like, the vapes that I get, all my vapes are from Left Coast Extracts, because I like to just know that I'm going with one brand. I know it's going to be consistent, mm-hmm. and I can recommend this to a friend, and they're going to have the same experience. Mm-hmm. So I just take that one-on-one connection, and I just give it to anybody who feels like they need help navigating through this cannabis space.
I love to see more Black women being like, I'm going to coach people to consume cannabis and show people like how this is actually medicine and how it can be consumed without abuse. Because what I don't like to see, I don't know if you saw that like we are, oh, I wish I could remember the page. I'll put it somewhere on the description. But like the Black woman in weed video, it was a bunch of Black women and they were like, I'm a Black woman, I like to smoke weed. And then the internet took that and twisted it and is like, these Black women are now like condoning drug abuse. And I'm like, nobody said that. And most of the Black women in the video who I know are in the industry are real life professionals making real money and paying real taxes for their real cannabis businesses.
Right. So. It's such a hard thing to like wrap your mind around, because I was literally just talking about how alcohol is so accepted.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's so, and that's what causes the most damage in general. People who get in car accidents, drunk drivers hit them, they hit other people while they're under the influence.
Oh, it's making bad decisions.
Come on, hundreds of thousands of people are dying every year off of alcohol, right? But it's just accepted and advertised and spoken on and encouraged. But
it has no censorship.
Nothing at all. We can do shots right now on Instagram and we could go up. But if I say, let's smoke a blunt on live, I'm getting my shit flagged. Right? So it's like, it's so hard. And then being on top of that, being a Black woman doing it.
Yes. It makes people so upset. Like, I've gotten some wild comments on my page. I delete the wild ones.
Man, it's such a weird space to be in sometimes, because it's like we're ending
breaking a stereotype.
Yes, and we're breaking the stereotypes, and we're just doing this shit of like what we know we can do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just let us do what we want freely and do it together, like, as Black women, because it's already hard enough being a Black woman in general, you know?
And we're trying to help lots of people in the cannabis industry, not just exclusively Black women. Like, how many times, I know for me, when I was bartending experience, I had often, is that some people would come in, I would be free and, like, available, they would not want to be helped by me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's crazy. But in the same space, we're being used for our Blackness, because there's a lot of dispensaries where the brand image and the vibe is a Black vibe.
Hip-hop and rap and culture.
So come on, if you really want to get into it, that's something that nobody talks about. Like, it's the fact that we are not in an industry, we're not in this cannabis industry like we should be. We're not taking up the space that we should be taking up, but we're letting other people take up this space, and we're just being the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, always, this is not the time to chills. Be consumers. Black people, this is not the time for us to be just another group of consumers.
Don't spending $500 a month at Cookies or wherever the fuck. Like,
right, wherever you shop at, wherever you paying them high ass taxes at, honestly, you could be doing this and you could be profiting off of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Or you can just be spending at a Black-owned business. Like, especially, you know, in California, how many Black-owned dispensaries are here? Make a little bit further of a drive to go to one of those. Go to Gorilla RX. Go to 64 and Hope. All these places that have Black owners and Black-owned brands, and drop your ducats there and get the education that relationships there, because that's how you're going to see more of us be able to grow in this space.
Yes, get to know the owners of these Black-owned cannabis brands and businesses. That's why I put emphasis on people knowing who I am. Just like, get to know me, because you need to know who you're supporting, because just because it says Black-owned doesn't mean that the morals are there, that we share as a Black community. Like, we have to make sure that we're doing things that still uplift us as a community, supporting the people that uplift us as a community. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when you support these businesses, keep in mind, who is the person? What do they stand for?
Who's the person behind it? Yeah.
And if they have a message that you stand for, shop with that person, support them, let them know I'm supporting you. I just bought this from your dispensary or your store, or your brand, because that's important to keep the Black dollars circulating in this space. We can have our own Black cannabis industry in general. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of the wave that we can produce with the ideas that we have, the talent that we have, the way that we're so resourceful. Like, that's just what I try to emphasize, because it's a multi-billion dollar business that we don't have our foot in yet. You know what I mean? We're mm-hmm. we're in there, but it's not,
it's not fully, like, it's yeah. still under 10% ownership Black and brown people, and that's very, 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 very tiny compared to how large this industry is.
We have to invest in each other. We have to shop with each other, because when people see that we support each other, that makes them want to support us, because they
mm-hmm.
see
then they're like, what's going on over there, you know?
Exactly. Like, you have to shop with your people. You got to show love. You got to, like, that's, cannabis is a very, like, it's a plant that brings us together, and this is the perfect mm-hmm. time for us to just get together. All the different Black women I met in this space, it's been so genuine, so cool, because we're just bonding over this cannabis plant, and mm-hmm. we don't have to do anything, like, we don't have to have any ulterior motives or anything sneaky, because we just want to smoke and produce things together. I love producing exactly. things with other people in general. But it's just good to see that finally we're in a space where we can all do this, and we're producing really great things.
Yeah. As you are too, of course, naturally.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, girl.
So I really love another part of your show that I love is that you incorporate music into the show, and mm-hmm. music is like a big part of your brand. As we just said, music is a big part of the cannabis brand and like cannabis culture. Like, if it wasn't for 2 Chainz, I don't think people would be wanting like $80. I don't know. I'm just saying. So it's how much does like music and artists influence you and your brands?
I didn't even realize it until this moment that I'm talking to you. Like, that my life has just all come full circle, because I think it was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago when I first moved to St. Louis, I wanted to become a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was working as a respiratory therapist. And I was like, I just want to be a DJ. Like, I'm not, because I love music. I love good music. I love music from the 70s, from the 60s, all the way up to the early 2000s. I'm that kind of girl. You know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I've always had a passion for music. I've never wanted to create music. But there's something about music that's powerful, because it can mm-hmm. set the mood. It can set the vibe. And it can change that mood if it needs to change. So when you incorporate that with weed, it's like, come on,
it's magic.
It's perfect, because the weed sets the mood for the music, but the music is setting the mood for the smoke session. It's all playing off of each other.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
when I incorporated that playlist in my first episode, I was like, I just want to give them something that makes me feel good. Like, it's a feel good podcast, so let me give you the kind of music that makes me feel good. I featured all songs that were produced by DJ Battle Cat. That's one of my favorite West Coast producers, because the beat is just like, every song he makes, it's funky. Like, he made G'd Up by the East Siders. I have You by Lucy Pearl. Like, those are the kind of songs that make you feel like I'm about to ride out and I'm about mm-hmm. to smoke while I listen to this. Like, come on. It gives you the picture I want to paint for you. It's the sunny day in LA, you smoking your weed, you driving down the street, you know what I mean? Or wherever you're at, and you just feeling good, you looking good. And music can bring that out of you. So I always want to encourage people to listen to like feel good music if you're going to listen to music. So putting that music in there was kind of like, I think it was a part of like the DJ in me that wanted mm-hmm. to get
it. It felt very natural. Like, I feel like people try to just like stick music in their show and it mm-hmm. doesn't flow. Like, it doesn't really feel like it's supposed to be part of it. And I don't know, it was your voice and the music. Like, it felt like you were a DJ on the radio.
Thank you. I think I'm going to start reviewing some albums and some, I'm going to make some playlists. I would
love that.
You think I should do that?
I would personally love that, because I'm someone who's been listening to a bunch of albums, and I talk about these albums with my friends, and this is mm-hmm. one of my favorite conversations, because we will talk about albums together. So I'm sure you have some opinions on some music that I like that I'd be like, ooh, what did she think about this? You know?
Yeah, I would like take some requests if people want me to like break down an album or even review their music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll probably have it streaming on Spotify. That way I can integrate the playlist and you guys can hear me and you can stream it wherever you're at. But I think I'm gonna start doing that because there's a couple albums that I've been looking at. And I'm like, I would love to just smoke and give you a breakdown of like my favorite song. Every like two or three songs, I'll do a break and I'll talk to you guys about it. And we'll just smoke together and listen to this album.
I mean, that's low key what I would used to do when I lived in Texas and would smoke with my friends. We would just sit in my homie's car and like listen to Moon music and we would sesh and we'd just be like, oh, you hear the drums on this? Oh my gosh. Like, listen to what he just said. Like, you would just really tap into what the artist was saying. And you would have this kind of bonding experience with the music as well.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna start doing that. If you're an artist and you're, send me your song. Send me the link on my Instagram. Artist. It's PRLD Productions, and I'll
be in the description as well.
I want to do an album review, a song review, or something. That way, I can expose some artists, get their exposure out there, get some views, some numbers on their page, and then I can also just share the music with you guys, the listeners who want to hear me smoke and talk about the album that we're listening to.
I would love that. I say do it, and I will send you my album request shortly.
Yes.
What is your some of your favorite like music or albums that you've been listening to lately to work or sesh to?
So lately, I've been listening to, let me go, Shine. It's off of Black Radio 3, and that's an album by Robert Glasper. He just released that like last week.
I heard about this. I haven't listened to it yet.
I listen to Shine every morning. Like, I listen to that song because it's just a song full of positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. It's just a song of, like, see, you have to talk to yourself like you love yourself every day. That's what D Smoke said in that song. And it's true. Like, if you're on a journey and you're creating things, you have to make sure that you're feeding yourself these positive affirmations to keep you going. Like, he said, imagine me on a channel that started off as a blog. Like, yeah, imagine me on a channel, a YouTube channel, or even a television channel. But I started this off as a blog. Like, you know what I mean? Pearl started off as just me telling people on my Instagram about different things about cannabis on a science standpoint. I started off just telling people about the science of cannabis. Now it's been moving forward into the brands of cannabis. And it's like, picture yourself really growing into something completely different. But let's start doing it today by telling yourself these positive affirmations. I listen
and
to
there's so many powerful positive affirmations in music. Like, if you really pay attention, there's so many positive affirmations in music.
And you have to be careful with the music that you listen to, because I used to be one of those girls
also
that
negative affirmations.
Exactly. I used to listen to like the songs that would make me sad and think about the past and think about regret and resentment. But it's like, I have to move forward in life and I'm on a journey right now. I can't stay in that moment. So I'm very aware of the music that I listen to. And surprisingly, when I'm listening to music, it'll be like Kendrick Lamar. I've always loved Kendrick Lamar. And it's because his songs are just well made. Like,
they're so good. They're so good.
It's a whole production. I love
it's
to
it's a story. You feel like you're there. You
come on. I was just listening
now,
to Dying of Thirst.
Kendrick, because we have the same birthday. Me and Kendrick are birthday twins. So I'm like, I am a great writer when I think of Kendrick.
Yes, and he does that every single time.
He is a great writer. Like, I'm like, if he can write this beautifully, I can do it too. Like, because I'll listen to his music and be like, this is art. Okay, yes. I can make this as well.
I listen to music that makes me feel like I'm listening to a piece of art. Like, I can listen to all of Kendrick's albums back to back, and it's just beautifully made. I listen to a lot of, like, Hiatus Kaiyote.
Girl, yes, Hiatus Kaiyote. Have you watched their Tiny Desk? It's really
no,
so good.
Have I? It's not a new one, is it?
It's about a year old, but it's really good. I've watched it repeated like multiple times.
I have to watch it because I've just been listening to her album lately and I'm just like, damn, you know, like, this is the kind of music that just makes you feel good. I don't need to hear words of like depression and sadness because I've been through that and I'm out of that. I'm no longer dealing with the things like that. You know what I mean? I need to move forward into positive affirmations and listening to things other than music. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of
interviews. What podcasts have you been listening to lately? Let's shout out our podcasts.
I've been listening to $1 Million Worth of Game. That's with Wallo and Gilly. And on there, they're just talking about, like, they're just breaking this shit down. Like, from a standpoint of a man's standpoint. Like, they're giving you literally $1 Million worth of game on a business level, on a life level. Like, I love business podcasts because I'm a business woman. So I try to listen to things with people who are talking about money and making money. So I listen to podcasts like that. I was listening to Grow the Show podcast. That's a podcast on like podcast monetization, making sure that you just knowing how to work your way around this digital world if you're a creator. And then I like to listen to like Cannabis Talk 101. That way I stay informed with my cannabis news because I have to stay informed. And it's I listen to like cannabis, pretty much like cannabis law news. And I'll try to listen to like cannabis current event news too.
That's a good idea. That's a very easy way to educate yourself about what's happening in the industry.
Exactly. You have to stay connected.
Yeah. And you put me on to a Kimbology podcast.
She ended up
DMing me. And now I think I want to have her on this show. We'll see what happens. But I feel like podcasts are such an easy way to get so much knowledge. Yes. And like that was one of my goals with this podcast is to like make other Black women find knowledge that relates to them, because when I made the show there was nobody I could talk to because I didn't work with any other Black women, so I just felt like I had no one to talk to, you know. So making the show, I feel like other Black women now feel like they have so many Black women to talk to because I've made so many episodes at this point. I don't even know.
I like that too. I like that it's just a space for us to be able to know that you can, there's so many Black women in this space. Like the Kimbology podcast that I was on, she's always informing women on like medicating, cannabis products to use, masturbating, making sure that you're showing yourself self-love, and meditating. And she's into different ways of just finding her peace and making sure that she's okay on a mental level. And those are really important. Those are really important resources to have because life is crazy, you know, and it's not about trying to be the smartest person. It's just about being the most like supportive person at this point.
Yes. Like, that's so funny. I just put meditate, medicate, and masturbate in a cover letter. Whether I'll get the job, I don't know. it was for a CBD lube company. So I was trying to grab their attention. But I do stand by these three M's as well.
Yes, that is literally like, and those are so important. And that's what I love about cannabis is that we're starting to highlight things that are actually really important. Like I talk about cannabis brands, but there are people who talk about self-care, people who talk about cannabis from a business standpoint, people who are talking about it from just all different standpoints. But it's so nice to finally hear your own platform. We can just respect everyone's views and we can use it as a source of education, and it just makes us smarter as a whole. Like, I love it.
For real. I love being part of this tribe. So my last question, speaking of tribe, for the women of color and the men of color in cannabis that are interested in the industry but don't know where to start, or maybe they're kind of like, you know, at that space where you were in, where you were like, I feel a calling, I feel passionate about this, but I don't know how to make that pivot, or you make the pivot and it's scary, like what advice would you give them?
I would tell them to first educate yourself, make sure that you study the plant. If there's some certificate that you can get, if you can do some type of educational program like through the city at like there's a lot of colleges in California that do like cannabis programs where you can learn about cannabis.
There's stuff online too.
Yeah, you can do it virtually. Then I highly recommend that you start off with educating yourself, because what that does, it gives you power. It gives you the upper hand. It gives you something that someone can't take away from you. Like, if you know about this plant, that gives you a better chance of getting hired at a dispensary, because they know that they can trust you with product recommendations. Because like I said, I'm still an advocate for cannabis users, so I have to make sure you safe products to try. And the only way that you will even know what's safe is if you start to research the plant and understand how this plant works. So I would say start at education, get out there, like go to different dispensaries, shop at different dispensaries, and build relationships with bud tenders there, because you should already be trying to build relationships with bud tenders to get good product recommendations. So you can use those relationships to get your foot in the door. That way, when you're ready to apply, you can get your resume in there, you can have a recommendation. And it shows that you actually like the company because you're shopping at the dispensary. This is a whole different ball game. Cannabis isn't like applying to work anywhere else. You can actually go build a relationship with the store that you want to work at.
Oh, yeah.
People, like, you can go build a relationship with anyone in the cannabis industry, honestly, because we're not bougie, stuck up, we don't want to talk type of people. We want to share the knowledge.
No, we want to talk. We want to get you high.
Right. And let's all smoke while we do it. That's the best part. So educate yourself, build relationships with people, give yourself, like, understand who you are. You have to know yourself.
And what you want to bring. Like, you don't have to be a plant touching. You don't have to be a bartender. Like, if you are like, I'm a massage therapist, you can be a cannabis massage therapist. You're like, I love pets, you can do something with cannabis and pets. As someone who's had, like, all sorts of parts in the industry, I've always been able to find, like, take a skill that I have and find a way to apply cannabis to it.
Exactly. And it also depends on what avenue you want to go into, because I can give you a roadmap to getting into the dispensary space because I've done that before. I can give you a roadmap to doing something independently in this space because I've done that before. There's so many different avenues that you can take. What career are you in now? And then just add in in cannabis. You know what I mean? I was a respiratory therapist. I couldn't really merge those two together, but I can be an advocate for people who have lung conditions and they can't smoke. I can help them find products that are good for their lifestyle. You know what I mean? Take your talent and just put that into... bring it to cannabis. Honestly, it sounds cliche because I think there was someone else that you interviewed on your show who said the same thing. Like, just find your tribe type of thing. Like, do what you're gonna do. Do whatever you're doing now, but just switch it to in cannabis. But you always have to make sure that you're educating yourself, because this isn't the kind of industry where you can just say, I want to work here, here's my application. You have to actually be more than just someone who likes to smoke weed. You have to bring something else to the table that makes you valuable. I feel like I'm valuable because I produce things. I can show people. If I want to talk to a brand about a sponsorship and I say, hey, you want to have your products advertised on my show, I'm going to show you everything that I've done. You know what I mean? That way you won't even think twice. You know it's going to be beneficial to you to fuck with me. That's how I feel. But you have to have something to show that. Product outweighs talent. It doesn't,
it doesn't matter. And there's so many people that want to get in this space, and as we know, the Black women are not getting hired first.
Exactly.
So you really have to stand out somehow or come with such a strong passion. Like, I told someone the other day who called me just kind of asking me questions. I was like, you kind of have to be a little crazy. You kind of have to have a little bit of, like, this is a crazy idea, but I'm going to do it anyway in you to be in it.
And that shows that you're hungry, because this isn't, nothing's going to be handed to you in general, like in life in general. No one's going to be like, hey, you want this opportunity? You're going to have to fight for this. Just like how it's competitive in any other industry, you have to compete in cannabis too.
It's way more competitive over here.
Right. And that, especially being in California, you're competing with everyone else and what everyone else brings. So what makes you you, what makes me me, is that I'm going to stay myself regardless. I know I'm cool. I don't have to force it and I don't have to show it because it's in me. It's not on me. And that's what I bring to the table, is knowing that I know myself and I'm educated. I actually know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not just cool and I smoke. I'm cool and I'm educated. I had to research this plant. I had to go through hoops to get my jobs in these dispensaries because I was representing multi-billion dollar companies. You understand? So it's like, you have to bring something to the table. Let them know that it's actually beneficial for you to hire me. You know what I mean?
I will make your company better.
As a Black woman, I'm bringing you so much money in here because I'm a Black woman who's a bud tender.
And that's just off it's of like being a show. Yourself. People would come to just see me. They would come because I was there.
And you're trusted. People automatically trusted my opinion because I was a Black woman selling weed. They're like, well, you must know what's good because historically Black people know what's good. Mm-hmm. And I get that stereotype. That's just an unfortunate stereotype. But at the same time, it works in our favor in this space because people will trust your opinion. You know what I mean? And you have to make sure that you're educated so that they can trust your opinion and spend money on that now.
And it's such a good feeling to see, like, when you walk into a space and you're like, oh, I'm the only Black person in here, and then you see somebody else. Like, I would love when a Black older couple or like Black tourists would come into the store and see me, and their face would light up.
Yes.
Like, that makes such a big difference.
And I'm going to tell them the best products in the store. I'm like, is it your first time here? You're from Atlanta. You're from North Carolina. What? Let me show you the best weed in the dispensary, because this is going to shape your experience. You came here to visit. I want to give you the best weed possible so that you know that every time you come back to California, this is the standard for you. You shouldn't be going to the dispensary shopping blindly as a visitor. Like, what? You should have had some strains already recommended to you. That's what I'm here for. I'll recommend them to you so that you know. When you go in these dispensaries, I want to recommend the best weed possible. That way you can have a great experience for your time here. And that's what you should be doing just as a friend. Like, at the end of the day, it's a friendly thing where this cannabis is such like a community type of plant. You wouldn't want to recommend weak weed to your friend. So why would I do it to a customer coming into the dispensary, you know?
Exactly. You always want to help people find what helps them feel good. Like, and you're making content that helps people feel good and creating a podcast. I love the name Pearl, by the way. Every time I Pearl a blunt, I think of Pearl.
That's crazy. Where the name came from. That's literally where the name came from. And I was so glad, like, it just hit me. I'm like, this is what we're going to call it. And it's so much deeper than just the name of the show. It's perfect. When you Pearl a blunt, you roll the perfect backwood or whatever you rolled it in. You really Pearled it. And that's kind of like what I do. Like, I put out really good quality content no matter what. Like, it's going to be pearled. It's perfect. I wouldn't release the things that I release if I knew that it wasn't going to be good quality. I'd rather hold it back and wait. That's why I'm kind of private with my process, because I'm not dropping new shit every single day. I'm not that person on your timeline. But you know that if you come to my page, you're going to get something of value. You're going to be able to listen to a really good couple episodes of a podcast, see some good content on the Twitter and the Instagram, and just know that it's going to be perfect every time it comes out. And that's something, sometimes you have to wait for things like that, but it's worth waiting for, because it's perfect when you get it, you know?
I love that. Well, Dime, you've been such a pleasure to have on the show. You're welcome back anytime. I'm sure we'll talk again prior to that.
Oh,
please,
yeah,
tell us where we can find you, your Instagram, Twitter, any new things coming up for Pearled or when new episodes are coming out. Now is your time.
So you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at PRLD. I'm on the Skiller app. On that app, if you're looking for me on there, you'll just have to look under Get Advice, look under Cannabis Concierge, and you'll find me, the Dime Piece. Things I'm working on Pearled, I got the YouTube channel coming, I got some new media, I got some visuals so you guys can actually see the weed that I'm smoking rather than just hearing about it in the podcast. And I'm working on something special for the people who really support me. I want to have some merch. I want to have some events. I want to just show love to the people who are showing me love, because this is really what I'm doing it for, to make sure that people just have a better experience. So just look forward to that.
Awesome. Thank you again, girl. I really appreciate your time being on the show. I love how you can find someone on Instagram, leave a comment, and then you're on their show. Like, I love how quickly this happened, because you were just so authentic and so you, and I just feel like the energy you're bringing into the industry was much needed. Like, it was a gap that I didn't even know we needed to fill, just having someone who's, though I do podcasts, like, I'm more long form and, you know, Q&A style and interview style, and there's room for everybody. Like, everybody can make a thing and not be competitive, and like you said, we can collaborate and we can uplift each other and support each other. It's not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. This is the perfect time for people to collaborate. We're not trying to compete anymore. This is not an industry for that. This is just an industry for us to come together, use whatever resources we have so that we can grow as a community and as a whole. That's why I already know that's what's going to happen for us. So I just kick back and I just watch it all happen.
Because lots of people, but I feel like, you know, there are some girls who'd be like, oh, another Black girl with the podcast. Like, they'd be like, I don't want to talk to her. And I'm never like that. And I don't feel like there's a need for that ever. So as always, you know, let's continue to collaborate with each other, have discussions with each other, be resources for each other. Don't gatekeep information. Don't keep things to yourself that might help someone else. Like, of course, there's some things you can keep to yourself. Like you said, don't give out ideas for free now. But if you have some information and someone's asking you a question, there's no harm in sharing it or being like, maybe I don't have the answer, but I can point you in the direction of somebody that does.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's that on that. That's the end of the episode, y'all. Thank you so much for listening. And no new announcements this week. As always, if you or someone you know wants to be on the show, that's a woman of color in cannabis, I will even start accepting men. Girl, people have asked me, like men, like grown men have asked me to be on the show. And I'm like, no, do you know?
I know, right? You better go get that bag. Stop playing.
I'm like, no, that's not for men. But I'm like, you know what? If you're a man of color and you feel like, of course, you got to be respectful to women. I'm not accepting disrespectful men on this show, okay?
I know. That's why you got to know who you're supporting.
Exactly. Standing by, you know, being aligned with values. But I will accept men of color who are in the industry. I have a couple of men that I have invited on the show, and they haven't gotten back to me. But there's a few people I have in mind. And if you have a CBD or a cannabis brand that's woman-owned, Black-owned, minority-owned, and you want to be a partner for the show, you can DM me at the Marijuana Ayana or email me. That's also on my Instagram page. All the information, becoming a podcast sponsorship information, is all in the link in my bio. I super love working with podcast partners, because not only do I get to like put people on, like you said, putting people on to other people's brands, like, doesn't hurt anybody. Like, you can support another brand, and I've supported so many CBD brands on the show, and none of them are like, you can't have another CBD brand on here. You know, like, if you're a Black owned anything, I am happy to support you, and then you're able to help me support the show and continue creating it so we can continue having these great conversations. Thank you so much, guys. New episodes every Sunday, and talk to y'all soon. Stay healthy and stay high.